Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Glad everybody came out tonight. I do thank Pastor Cassiola and Pastor Cassiola. I thank them for their prayers and, the help in the ministry. I know they're praying faithfully. I'm just telling you, the Lord's been moving in the services at the jail. There's been a response like I haven't seen since I've been in there. And they really do get on. It may not mean a lot to anybody else, but it means a lot to see an ex-convict and an ex-sheriff come in there. That really is a loaded weapon. I mean, that is really something they look at and they go, oh, my lance. And we can call each other brother. And it's a testimony because, he shares his testimony of how even you come from the right side of the law, you still need Jesus Christ. And, of course, coming from the gutters, you need Jesus Christ on both sides. And that just gives them a dunk. We had Amy come in and give her testimony. And it was a blessing. I mean, they really responded to Amy's testimony. And they seen what the world calls a goody two-shoe. And she needed Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is he's the one we all need. He's the one no matter where you come from, the gutters, or if you come from a good family. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And that's what we like to bring into the jail is hope. There is a hope. These people got to see a hope, okay? They're sick and tired of seeing all this stuff that they come in and out, and they're trapped in a little circle there, and they just keep coming in that revolving door and so on and so forth. I mean, we go in there, I got to tell them, listen, you want to know when your life is going to change. How about praying for those COs? How was that response? They just looked at me like I had two heads. I said, you know you want to change when you can start fasting for them correction officers. When you can start praying for their salvation. I said, that's when you're going to let God know, this is serious, I'm being serious. I need a changed life. I want something different than I had. I said, until you can get to that point, forget it. It's going to be the same circle. You're going to be trapped in there. Okay, there's not going to be any way out. The only way out is Jesus Christ. There is no other way out. There was nothing. I had children. My children didn't stop me. The love that they had for me didn't stop me from coming in and out of prison. I had family that loved me. It didn't stop me from coming in and out of prison. But when Jesus Christ stepped in my life, that's when I stopped going to prison. That's when I stopped going to rehabs. That's when I stopped going to mental hospitals and taking all these pills. It all just stopped. Okay? It's not just the outward appearance. I know that didn't change much. But it was the inward, those inward things. When I first started coming to Black Creek Baptist Church, I mean, for most of you know that testimony, but for those of you who don't, I was on 19 psychotropic pills a day. I mean, they had me on everything to try to keep me calm because I had explosive anger disorder. I mean, I was depressed. My life was miserable. I always wanted to die. I mean, there was just no hope. I just thought it was over. Yeah, this man walked up on my porch. John Asquith, he said he wanted to be my pastor, and I did not want a pastor at that time. I was in absolute misery. And, my wife, she started attending the church. And for months, I just picked on her, called her Holy Roller, Bible Thumper. I mean, just totally went off. And she said one day, why don't you come to church? This guy preaches a King James Bible like I've never heard. And she knew that would pique my interest, because every time I went in and out of jail, that's what I would grab. I would grab a King James Bible. I liked them. And, I said, all right, I'll go listen. I sat underneath that man's ministry for 4 years, a rebel. Not sure if I was lost, not sure if I was saved, not sure if I was lost, not sure I was saved. Until the day the Lord brought me to repentance, I understood, oh my goodness, I'm lost. I'm dying, I'm going to hell without Jesus Christ. Nothing is ever going to change in my life until I get Jesus Christ in my life. And for 4 years, I became diligent. And the Lord just had to show me I was being a rebel. I wasn't going to listen to His authority or anybody else's authority. Authority to me was an enemy. An enemy. An absolute enemy. And the Lord changed that in me because I wouldn't bow to any man or any woman. The night I got saved, you asked my pastor. He didn't lead me through a prayer or nothing like that. He just sat behind me and he prayed. But you know what I was doing? I was on my knees praying to the Holy God to save me. I finally came to that place where it was into myself, and God came into my life, and I kneeled down for the first time in my life. Somebody had me on my knees, and I was begging God, please save me. I can't do it anymore. Save me. And He did, and it hasn't been the same. 6 years this October, I've been saved. And I thank God for every moment of it. It's been hard. There's good times. There's bad times. There's roller coasters and everything else. And just to let you know, I wasn't looking for a jail ministry. It all happened because God shut doors everywhere else until I could finally see, oh, that's the door you want me to go in. Okay, when I started off, I thought I was going to be a Sunday school teacher. Really, I thought I was going to be a preacher. I preached at my church for, I don't know, almost 4 years at 1 o'clock service. I did a few travel rounds here and there. I thought, yeah, all right, that'd be me. I don't know. God shut that down pretty quick. Well, it's got to be Sunday school then. That's where God has me in the ministry. I wasn't looking for jail ministry. And then one day, just to appease somebody, they said, why don't you go take that test and get in the jail? I'm like, ugh. Ask Amy. I complained about it. I really don't want to go. I don't want to really go and do that. By my third or fourth time in there, I knew I was broke. I came home and I was just in absolute tears. I said, Amy, that's where I'm supposed to be. He broke my heart for these people. I said, that's it. I know. That was April of 2016. I knew where I was supposed to be. I was thinking, you know, hey, the Lord's got to open the doors pretty quickly. But, you know, he's taking his time because I'm still in training. I still have a long way to go. He's got to train me. You know, here's where I'm at today. Today I'm at a point in my life with me and my wife where what I preach, God is making me live. And if you haven't been there yet, strap on because it's coming. What I preach, he's making me live. Listen, how can I go in there and tell somebody, God can deliver you from them drugs. Don't worry about it. God can keep you out of jail and prison. God can keep you out of the mental hospitals. God can take care of you when you don't have any money. Don't worry about your bills. How can I go in there and tell them about that hope if I can't live it myself? Well, God said, strap the boots on, Dale. It's time to go. And so tonight I want to preach a little bit on the call. I got a call. And it wasn't a call that I was looking for. It wasn't something that I was searching for. It's not something that I begged God, please put me in the jail and prison ministry. I was not. I was trying to search everywhere else except for there. October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street. The first thing that happened to me is I got saved. God called me to salvation. Repentance and salvation. I got saved. And as soon as I got up, I realized something was different about me. I realized that I was getting angry and I could control my anger. For the first time in my life, I could control my anger. And if you've never had it that bad, where it takes all kinds of medicines to keep you calm because you cannot control your own anger and you're afraid of yourself. You're afraid of yourself. You know when Jesus Christ steps in. I remember the first time I started getting aggravated. I said, oh my goodness. Amy said, what's wrong, honey? What's wrong? I'm crying. I said, I'm getting mad and I know it. I realized for the first time that I was getting angry and I could control myself. It wasn't that I was out of control anymore. I was like the wild man of Gadara. He calmed me, he put me in my right mind and clothed me. I slept with a clean conscience for the first time in decades. I laid down in my bed and I had a clear conscience. It didn't keep me up anymore. It didn't keep me awake. I wasn't afraid. You ask my wife, I woke up on the edge of the bed every single morning with my hands in my face saying, today's the day I'm just going to die. There is nothing left for me. Am I telling the truth? There's nothing left for me. I have no reason to live. There is no hope. I just need to die. It's just going to come. Laying on the bed. Couch thing in the psychiatrist. He told me, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you. I can't give you any more medicine. There is no hope. About a year ago, I got to go testify to that same psychiatrist. You know what he told me? He goes, you have a wonderful story. I said, there's hope. That's right. When the world gives up, Jesus Christ is ready to begin. And that's the message that's got to go into them. That's the message when this world has given up, when everybody else is throwing you to the gutters, Jesus Christ is ready to start a work in you. There is hope as long as you take a breath. God in 2 Corinthians, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want to show you a place that's missing today. There's quite a few things missing when people are being led to the Lord and they try to skip over things. You know, God knows when somebody's ready to be saved. It's on his time. All we can do is water and plant, and God gives the increase. And so many people are skipped over this because man wants them to be saved. They want to claim their salvation. But I want you to read, and I knew that God had brought me to this place. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you were sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." Verse 10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Oh, I can attest to the sorrow of the world that worketh death, because that's exactly where it was leading me. The sorrow of the world, the not being able to pay bills, the not thinking there's any hope in my life. I mean, death could have came and knocked on the door and I would have been ready to go. Then I got underneath this. I got underneath this Bible, and a man stood there, and he preached the truth to me. And he told me things that broke my heart. He told me things that I had to hear, and it would make me angry. Angry to the point where you ask him, I would draw my fist back like I was going to hit him. He'd say, "You go ahead and hit me, Dale. It's not going to change my love for you." I've seen something in him that I've never seen. And I looked at my wife, Pastor, and I said, "I want what he has. He's got something that I've never seen before." You know what? I've seen Jesus Christ in him. Let me just tell you this. If people can't see Jesus Christ in you, you're doing something wrong. That's who they need to see. Is that what I told them people today in the jail? I said, if I come here and I start preaching myself, and you're seeing me, and you're seeing Pastor Cassiola, you need to get out of here and stay out of here quick. Because the person you should be seeing is Jesus Christ and what he can do and what he wants to do. You should not be seeing what me and him can do. But I was brought to that place of godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. You read in your Bible how many people have been brought to sackcloth and ashes. They were brought to a place of deep contrition, of sorrow, of beyond sorrow, of beyond sorrow of what? Of what? For their godly sorrow? For their worldly sorrow? No, for what they've done against God. People have no clue they're sinning against a holy God. I told the ladies today, I said, listen, you can't sin against each other. You might do each other wrong, but you sin against God. And they couldn't get it. I repeated myself like 3 or 4 times. They could not get it. They did not understand it. I had to move away from it because they just could not function. They could not understand what I was trying to tell them. Why? Because everybody wants to jump on with the Romans road and we'll pray this prayer and you'll be okay. No! They have to be brought to a godly sorrow. They have to be brought to a place where God can deal with them. God can deal with their heart. It never did. How many times did we pray that prayer together, Amy? How many times did people jump all over us all those years? And it never worked anything in my life. I got up and I said, well, I'm the same as I've always been. Got up, same as I've always been. My wife said, we didn't get nothing. God ain't going to save us. He can't do nothing. It was in God's timing. It took him what he was going to take to break us. It wasn't about what we did. But I couldn't see it clear. I couldn't see what God wanted from me. And then he brought me to godly sorrow. He brought me to repentance. I was separated from God and headed for death. I was headed for hell, both spiritually and physically. With repentance came salvation, and salvation brought 2 Corinthians 5:17 in my life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what a wonderful time in my life it's been. My life is better now in my struggles than when it was when I was out there living in sin. Listen, my hard times are better now than what I was out there living in sin with. That new creature. 6 months after I got saved, Amy got saved. And I recall, it was probably my 8th month of salvation. And I remember me and her getting on the side of the bed. And we held hands and we prayed. And we said, God, you can send us anywhere. Do anything you want with us. We'll do anything that you want us to. And you know, at that time, God marked our lips. Leviticus 24, I believe, is there 25, talks about God, somebody marking your lips for a promise that you made. God marked our lips, and now he's not going to let me escape that. You know what? I'm not running from it. But I cannot go in that jail, being a hypocrite, and tell them that I know the hope of Jesus Christ, and I know what he can do for your life if we can't live it. Oh, you're poor and you're broke. My bank account's full. I can understand how they feel. I can't understand. Oh, your bills aren't paid. I'm sorry. I can't understand that. Oh, you're hungry tonight. I can't understand that. You see, God is going to make me live when I preach. And we may go hungry. I don't know if I'm going to have my house next week. I don't know what's going to go on. I know this. If I don't put my trust in God and let him get us through it and not out of it, I'm going to find myself back in the same position I've always been. He's got to use this to build me up, to be able to go in there and tell these people, listen, there is a hope. Even in your hard times, there is a hope. The other day, I grabbed my wife's hand. We were walking. We're getting into walking now, trying to get healthy. I grabbed her hand. I said, Amy, we may not have a house soon. This is where the world separates. This is where the world starts divorcing. This is where they start leaving each other. This is when sexual immorality starts happening because the money's gone. I said, are you ready? Or are you going to hightail it? She grabbed my arm and she said, well, I'm ready. We're going to go with it. We're going to just go through it. And if God can't take care of us, who can? If God cannot take care of me and my wife, then not one person in here can. I don't say that as a light. I'm not sitting up here like I'm Superman and I understand. I don't. But I know one thing. He says that he's my father. And as a father, he has a love for me that's second to none. He has a love for me and my family. He knows the decisions he has to make. And you know what? I can't be selfish and say it's for us four. But what about those in prison? What about those in jail? Wouldn't he be doing that to build me up for them? So they can have hope? I have the hope already. Now how are they going to get it? He sends men in to take that Bible and to show and preach it to them and show them that there's a love unlike anything they've ever known. And that love was a hard thing for me to understand because I didn't have love in my life. I didn't understand love. And then you're going to ask me to love something I can't see or touch. How do you reach them? How do you tell them about that? How do you go in there and try to convince them that all these other Joe Smoes aren't going in there trying to convince them with? Putting their little DVDs in there and make them color and color in books. How do I go in there now and I got to convince them that there's a real Jesus Christ with a real Bible and there's a real hope and there's a real salvation that they can have? Well, Dale, let me just pull that rug out from underneath it a little bit. And then you'll understand. Doesn't it say that Jesus Christ understands everything we go through because he was in all ways tempted but without sin? How can I ever understand these people and what they're going through if I cannot live through it myself? There are so many people who are in these jail and prison ministries that have no clue. It's a bragging right to them. It's a way to make money. It's not that way for me. I promise you with all that I am. I want those people to come out and have a hope like I have a hope. To have a church, a Bible, to have a life, to be saved and go to heaven and not have to worry about hell on earth. And there is a hope for them. The problem today is man has to be moved out of the way. And not many preachers, not many pastors are willing to go that far. I'm just telling you, man. Those inmates will see right through you. They'll see through you. They'll know if you're a fake or not. They know what's real and what's not real. I can't go in there and try to pretend. Because they know. If there's anything they know how to read people because that's how they make their money. That's how they scam. We have murderers sitting in front of us. We have prostitutes sitting in front of us. We have drug addicts and alcoholics. They're all sitting there in front of us. And we got to go in there and convince them that Jesus Christ can help take all that away. How many times before we got saved did somebody try to convince us that had no clue? Not everybody can reach everybody. I just want you to know that. We can try. But not everybody can reach everybody. Not anybody could just reach me. God knew who he was going to have to send. And here I'm in Little Black Creek. What's the odds of my wife's mother working at a college that pastor's daughter went to and said, please go see my daughter and son. They're in trouble. That's how pastor ended up coming to know me. And I'm at Black Creek. Jesus knew who it was going to take. He knew who I would listen to. He knew who would finally be able to get this word inside my heart and make me see just like Jesus Christ needed me to see. He never jumped on me, never forced anything, never told me I was lost, never told me I was saved. He said, you get in that Bible, you and Jesus Christ get that thing right. And that's my ministry today, is to go in there, and first and foremost, we have to prove to them that there's a Bible they can believe, because they don't. I know most of you go, well, that's hard to understand. Let me just tell you, there's people that pastor has known that didn't even know what the Ten Commandments were hanging on the wall in our church. They said, what are those things? That's what you're working with today. You cannot go out there and work with them like they used to have. It's not going to happen. These criminals are smarter. They're brighter. They're faster. They think a lot quicker. I mean, they have evolved, man, since I have stopped being a criminal. I have to watch TV shows, ask my wife, just to keep up on them. I'm like, what is that now? Oh my gosh. What did they call that? But you know, there's no new thing under the sun. It just has a different name. Just has a different name. But you know, if you're not going to be prepared to go in there, you have to be prepared to go. You got to be prepared to get in there and tell these people and show them that it's not about what they think. It's not about that jailhouse religion. They hold on to that, man. They love it. They're so comfortable with it. It's like they're a little buddy. And then they leave their little buddy every time they walk out the doors. And I told them today, I said, you know what I want? I want you to be able to walk out of here and have Jesus Christ out there, not just in here. I said, and he'll tell you, little 23-year-old kid, pretty diesel. I looked him straight in his eyes and I said, if you're serving God or trying to claim God to get your time lowered, I said, forget about it. It never happened. Forget about it. Forget about it. God's not here to compromise with you. He doesn't want you to come and grab onto some religion just so you can get your time lowered and tell parole, oh yes, I'm a good boy now. God's not having that. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to get on your knees and you need to fast. Get a hold of God and let him show you what he has against you. What is it? What is it that you need to see? I said, those things that you already know about yourself, God's not trying to show you those. He knows you know them. He's trying to show you that thing you don't know. He's trying to show you that thing you don't know. The things that we know in our life already, God already knows we see those. It's those things we can't see. That's what he's trying to reach. That's what he's trying to get at. And there's years and years and years. The one girl that we go in there and preaching to, she has 5 family members in the state prison right now, plus her and her boyfriend in the county jail. How about that? Your mom, your dad, and your 2 sisters, you and your boyfriend locked up. How about a life like that? Now wait, I'm going to go in there and tell them about Jesus Christ now, okay? I'm going to go in there and tell them that this don't ever happen to you or your family ever again. And by the way, she's Hindu. Huh? She was Hindu. She's renounced it. Okay? Not going to go in there and tell her, hey, Jesus Christ wants to give you a new life out there, and your mom, and your dad, and your two sisters, and the guy you're with. I got to convince them. Let me tell you something. These people are going to see right through you if you're a hypocrite. Believe me, you, they'll see through you. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 3 and 4 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself again with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier. A soldier is torn apart. He's taken down. And he's being rebuilt up. And that's what God does to us. He's going to tear everything that we are out and put everything in that he wants to be put in. That's our boot camp. Need to have a boot camp if you're going to be out there in the ministry. God's got to put you through some things. How can you ever trust God? I said, Amy, if we don't go through the things that we have to go through, how are we ever going to trust God? Oh, Lord, would you please strengthen our faith? Would you please help us in our faith? And then when things come, we want to wave the white flag and say, no, wait, I give up. That's what happens.
Yep.
Hold on, Lord, get me out of this. No, I'm going to get you through it. Stop praying to get out of it and just ask God to get you through it. Because if not, it's coming back around. It's going to come around again. It's going to come around again. I remember distinctly the Lord telling me to strap on the boots. It's time for basic training in Christianity. And right before that, I remember Amy and myself, ourselves, we got on our knees and we said, Lord, send us anywhere and do anything. Whatever you want, Lord. He marked our lips. And you know what? There was times we tried to turn from that. There was times we tried to get away from it. And he wasn't having it. It wasn't until a few weeks ago, Amy looked at me. She goes, I guess we're not really going to get away from us. And we're not getting away from it. We told him. We pray, Lord, just send us anywhere. Do anything you want with us. We'll go anywhere you want. You know, you're a young Christian. You're on fire, man. You're willing to walk to Africa if you could. And then God says, okay, walk to Africa. Oh, no, wait, I can't get that's too far. I can't do it. Okay? I ask God, why do we go through the things we do? Deuteronomy 8. Why do we go through these things, Lord? Why the hard times? What's going on here? It says in Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Very prideful. I'm a very prideful person. God says, you can't go in there preaching. You got to get that pride out of your life. He says, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou shouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man do not live by bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. You see, we're used to eating what the world gives us. We're content with what the world gives us. We're not content with what God gives us. If you're a born-again believer tonight, let me just inform you of one thing. God is your inheritance. How many of you are content with just that? What if God decided, I'm going to take everything from you right now, and you only have God left and only his provisions? What about it? How happy will you be? Be honest with yourself. How happy are you going to be when you have nothing else but God? You have nothing else but what he provides. And I mean, it's gone. Job kept his integrity, could we? Job never lost his integrity. He never lost his love for God. Could we be like Job and say, well, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can probably say for 99% of us, it wouldn't go that way. Because we're so used to eating off the world. We're so used to eating off the world that we forget the spiritual that God is trying to feed us with. Man doesn't live by bread alone. You're not going to live just off the physical stuff. You need the spiritual stuff. You need what God can give you. You're going to starve yourself if not. Man can't live by bread alone. That's what it says. God is an inheritance. Could you imagine? The Levites, that's what they were told. You're not going to have what your brothers are having. You're not going to have what they're getting in the land. Now you're going to sit there and you're going to watch all this go on. But God says, hang on. I'm going to be your inheritance. I'm going to be your inheritance. You're not going to have nothing unless it comes from me. Then he says, a tenth of the sacrifices. Those sacrifices were very important to God. When those families came up with their sacrifices, and they brought them just the way they were supposed to be, and so they were very important to God. Do you know what? The Levites were so special, God gave them a tenth of that. How about that? How about that? Would you be happy with that? Are you going to be happy with God's provisions? But wait, it gets better. Because then God says, take a 10% of that, and I want you to give it back. Just saying. I know for a fact that the Lord is trying to make me and my wife happy with Him being our inheritance and Him and His provisions and what He's going to provide for us. And until we can get there, we might as well hang it up. Because those people in prison are not going to be happy, or they're not going to believe a word that I say if I can't live what they're living. If I can't understand. Yeah, I have a criminal history. I got a 17-page rap sheet. I got violences all over the place in mental hospitals, and I've been there and done that over and over again. But they don't want to hear that. They want to hear about, okay, what about if my life gets straight when my bills can't get paid? What do I do then? Are we going to be like the children of Israel and turn back to the world? I mean, God, He does all this wonderful stuff for them. And yet they're not satisfied with God's provision. They want to go back to Egypt every single time. What do you think these convicts are doing? They're going back to where they're comfortable. They're going to go back to slinging dope. They're going to go back to prostitution. They're going to go back to exactly the same exact thing that got them in there. Why? Because they don't know. They don't have any hope. They don't see God as an inheritance. They don't see God's provision as something important. You know why? Because most Christians don't either. Be real with yourself. Let's be honest. Here we are, we're going to go in jail, and we're going to talk to these guys about being happy with God's provision and God's inheritance, and yet, meanwhile, inside, all we're doing are hypocrites, murmurs, and complainers, just like the children of Israel, and we're wondering, why did you take us out of Egypt, God? Why did you take us away from the flesh pots? Why did you take us away from the wonderful bread that we had? Why did you bring us out here? Because God said, I want you to be happy with what I give you. Let me ask you a question. Did manna come from Egypt or did it come from God? The water. Did it come from Egypt or rock, which come from God? God wants to give us that same manna and that same water, and yet we're like, wait, listen. And that little bit of bread is not going to work for me and my family. With that water, what is it? The most refreshing water you could ever have in your entire life. And we want to murmur and complain because we can't have leeks and onions and pheasant and everything. We want what Egypt had. We want what the world still has. Because we can't be happy with God's provision. Now let's go into jail and try to convince them that they got to be happy with God's provisions. I'm just telling you. It is not going to happen. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3 says, and thou shalt remember all the way that Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee. If you're going to be called into ministry, and there is a calling on your life, just want you to know, and it doesn't come from a man. If your calling has come from a man, you got the wrong calling. Okay? If you're going to have a calling on your life and you cannot pray, God, would you help me to be humble? Whatever you think that we need to go through, Lord, would you go ahead and bring us through that? Every man, woman that is called into any type of ministry, God has got to train you in certain things, in certain ways. And it's going to be with His provisions. Until you can get to that point in your life, you might as well hang it up. Hang it up. and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. At first, I was under the impression that I was going to be a preacher, a pulpit filler, preached at Black Creek for years at the 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden, all these doors just started slamming closed around me. And I asked my wife, I asked God to do that. I said, God, if that's not where I'm supposed to be, close the doors. Then after he started closing, I was like, why, Lord? You know, I had no clue what he was doing. Again, I'm not looking for a jail ministry. You have to understand the importance of that. I was not looking to go back into a jail and prison. I spent enough time inside. I know what they look like. I know what they smell like. I wasn't looking forward to going back to anything like that. I liked my freedom, okay? And God had different. He had different things in mind. So I assumed that I was going to go through the Sunday school class and it was going to be my calling, which I still do my Sunday school class and I love it. I wouldn't trade that for the world. I love doing my Sunday school class. It's part of my calling. But I knew there was always something else. I just couldn't put my finger on it. There was always something missing. There was something there, and I was always looking for something. And then, you know, I became a trustee. I'm like, no, that's not it. You know, there's just something, and I couldn't figure it out. And the whole time that I'm trying to be a rebel because I don't want to see that God is really trying to get me in the jails and the prisons. The whole time I'm fighting. And that can't be it. Nah. That's not it. You wouldn't open that door because with the 17-page rap sheet looking like I have, they ain't letting me in no jail or prison. Okay? They might want to try to keep me and say, you shouldn't be free with that rap sheet. Okay? I'm just telling you. You ask my wife what I went through to get in there. That sergeant begged for me to get in there. She begged them to let me in there. She said, these people need to hear this man. He knows. Then am I lying, Amy? Read that thing. She just looked at me. I said, ma'am, I have a long rap sheet. I said, what do you guys think of that? She's like, whew. And then she said, about what? And I just started naming off the robberies and all that kind of stuff. And she just kind of looked at me and she goes, let me see what I can do. Call me back Monday morning. I think that was a Friday or something. I called back Monday. I said, it doesn't matter anyway if I get in or not. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. She said, yep, I got you in. You can come in. We'll put you on the schedule. Sweet. All right, cool. When's my first time in, you know? Whatever, every few weeks you get to go in or so. And I'm like, all right, good. Oh, boy. Was I in for something that I never in a million years ever thought it could ever happen to me. And it wasn't money. Nobody paid me to go to the jail. I always heard pastor say about loving a people. I didn't know what that meant. I had no clue what a burden for people were. I had a few people on the outside that I work with, and I still work with. But not like the burden that God put on my heart for these inmates. And I mean, I would come home in tears. That's my way. I'm coming home, not because I'm sad. I'm coming home saying, please, God. Would you save them so they don't have to go through this anymore? Would you open the door so I can get in on a weekly basis? Lord, would you help them? Lord, please, I'm begging you. And every day it's more and more, it's growing and growing. Now it's to the point where I'm going to the jail. I'm just sitting in the parking lot waiting. Just in case the other churches don't show up, I can get in there. Because I just had to be in there with them. I just wanted to be with them. If I could get in there every single day and just spend time with them, that's where my heart was. I loved the people. I loved them. They're complete strangers, but God gave me a heart for them. And I never understood what that was until I was called. And that's April of last year, April of 2016, I understood what it was like to be called from God. I understood what it was like to have a people. I understood as clear could be. Where the Lord wanted me, there is no question. And just to make, let me just tell you this quick story. I despised Allegheny County. I asked God, please get me out of this place. I just cannot stand being here. I wanted to go bad. And the Lord asked me, Dale, those people in the Allegheny County jail, don't they mean something to me? Didn't I die for them? Dale. Those people in the Allegheny County Jail, don't they mean something to me? Didn't I die for them? Hey, Dale. Those people in the Allegheny County Jail, don't they mean something to me? Didn't I die for them? You ask my wife, I was broke. Complete mess. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to run from these people like everybody else has. I'm going to stay in Allegheny County, and I'm going to stay in that jail. And if it's the only place that I ever am allowed in, I'll be just happy with that. Because I understood for the first time in my life, if revival's going to start, it can start in the Allegheny County Jail. God is powerful enough to get into that jail and to change lives and have them come out here and be productive members of society. Now I don't want to leave. Now I'm afraid that God's going to say, hey, I want you to, I don't want to leave. I am so happy with being where I am. I am so content. I don't care if my bills get paid and if I have to sleep in a box. And I'm not even kidding you on that. If that's what it came down to, I mean, you guys can come visit us and maybe build a shelter for us or whatever. But no, seriously, I am content. My wife is content. We're okay where we're at. I love my church. I love my friends. I love the ministry he's put me in. And the biggest thing that I want these people to know is when Jesus saves you, you're not a sick person anymore. You see all this Alcoholics Anonymous and NA and all that stuff. All these people want to do is keep you sick. I'm not in recovery, folks. I'm recovered. ED. It's over with. Jesus Christ has changed my life inside and out. I am not the same person that I was 6 years ago. My life is not the same as it was 6 years ago. I couldn't even imagine me standing up here behind a pulpit with an open Bible preaching 6 years ago. But that's the power of Jesus Christ. That's what he can do. That's what, listen, folks, you can never do anything else for liberty behind bars. Pray. Not just for the inmates. There's correctional officers going to hell. There's staff that's going to hell. They need Jesus Christ. You ask my wife, when I pray for them, I don't pray just for the inmates. I pray that the COs and the staff get saved as well, because they're dying and going to hell just as well. They are without Jesus Christ and they need it. Now, I think I have favor with the COs. You know, they treat us wonderful. I don't know why. I don't know how. I never planned it that way. I don't know whatever, but I know we have favor with the COs. They treat us wonderful. They let us stay in there as long as we want, which is very odd. And the girls and the guys both say, man, they let you guys stay in here. Yeah, they let us stay in here. 90% of the people that go in there will not go and talk to the women. They just blow them off. I said, no, well, not me. We'll go in there. Yeah, let's go in. Yeah, we'll go in there. Them girls need Jesus Christ just as well. There's two of us in there. It's not like I'm alone with them girls. Pray for liberty behind bars. We have stuff that we need. There is stuff that we need. Every 2 weeks we send in messages. We send in devotionals every 2 weeks. God puts a message on my heart, or pastor, I can send some of his stuff in. And every 2 weeks, I got 6 prisons that we send out to, in Allegheny County Jail, Livingston County Jail. These people every 2 weeks get a message that they can take in their cell with their Bible. And I don't know, how many Bibles have we sent out so far? Almost 2 cases. Almost 2 cases of Bibles in the jail so far, plus Spanish Bibles and everything else. So, you know, letters and envelopes and stamps and traveling. I travel around to the state prisons and I go visit the inmates. I can't get in the state prisons yet. That's something we're working on. But I travel around and I go visit the inmates, or I go visit family members of the inmates, you know, if they need to talk or whatever. So I travel around, you know. So there's stuff that goes on that the Liberty Behind Bars can use to have some help. There's envelopes back there, or if you want to just pray, we'll take the prayer, okay? Because God, my Father, he can provide all things, and he has thus far, okay? And I do want to thank Ashley, because she's worked hard on that board. I didn't know prices of certain things. She knows all that stuff. I thank God that he's brought them in our life. She's part of the board members. Liberty Behind Bars is moving forward and all that stuff, trying to get all the paperwork done. I just thank God for what he's doing. Because there's no way. I was thinking about this on the way here, and I'm going to close with this. I was thinking on the way here, I said, how in the world did I get where I'm at today? By the grace of God, and no other way. And so just pray for Liberty Behind Bars if you can think about us. I appreciate it. I'm done, Pastor.